I remember going fishing with my dad on the Tomorrow River, which is one of the premier fishing streams in the area. Fly fishing in central Wisconsin is wonderful.
The same waters that were around 100 years ago are around today.
What I look for in a good fly fishing area is good, clean, cold water, especially when you're fishing for trout. Now, you know, Wisconsin is one of the perfect places for it.
The abundance of cold water streams makes Stevens Point a perfect destination for fly fishing. In the early 20th century, it was also renowned for the quality fishing flies being made there. It all started when school teacher Carrie Frost took a job in Stevens Point to move closer to family, especially her father, with whom she shared a special bond.
Her father, John Clark, was also an avid hunter and fisherman, and he taught her to fly fish early in her life.
But it was not common in those days for women to fish, especially young girls. And so it's interesting that Carrie Frost's dad took her fishing.
Carrie was an expert fly fisherwoman. Some say that Carrie could lay a fly in a calm pond without causing a ripple.
The flies that were around in the late 1800s all came from Great Britain or from Europe. The problem with them was that they were not on time. When they finally showed up, they were sloppily made.
In May of 1896, after missing a shipment of flies, her father asked her to tie some flies for the coming fishing season.
The locals saw that Carrie and her dad caught the most fish. They went over and said, "What are you catching those fish on?" And so Carrie started out by tying flies on a small scale for the people in her neighborhood.
Well, she started tying flies that matched more the insects in this area. So she essentially filled a niche.
The fly tying business became so busy that she left teaching in order to start the fly tying business.
Carrie formed the C.J. Frost Fishing Tackle Manufacturing Company in 1896. The business began operations out of the family home, but soon more space and more workers were needed.
In 5 years, she had expanded the number of employees to 45. 10 years after starting, she's now employing nearly 100 women. And in that year, she had a new brick building built, C.J. Frost, across the top.
Now, for the first time, Americans were able to travel inexpensively across their own country in their own cars and see the grandeur of...
As more people could afford to own automobiles and had more leisure time to hit the road, Carrie's company supplied the needs of a growing fishing industry.
A typical employee could tie one gross a day, 144 flies per day. So when you add up all those numbers, you come up with about 4.5 million pieces per year put out by the company at its peak.
Carrie's business was actually the first of its kind in the United States. No one had thought to tie flies on a commercial level. She broke so many barriers at that time.
As the company grew, Carrie's father John and brother George came to work for her, becoming the few men working at the company.
Carrie's employees were women at the time for a couple of key reasons. One was she offered a very kind of unique opportunity for ladies at the time to stay local and earn a pretty decent salary. They were actually recruiting the young gals right out of high school to participate in fly tying. I think she also, as a feminist at the time, wanted to encourage opportunities for ladies. But in addition to that, the ladies were great fly tiers.
Carrie's flies were mostly sold in hardware stores and would be branded with the store's name. Unlike her competitors, she would also put her company's name on these products as the manufacturer, often including Miss before the name of her company.
I believe that Carrie was selective in when she chose to point out that she was a female. I think she was at times had to maybe be cautious for business reasons. to leave the miss off. But when she wanted to put the pedal to the metal and make it clear that, hey, I'm a female and I'm running this outfit, she was not afraid to use the term miss.
And her name started to carry so much weight. She would put her name on the flies because that was a way to show people that, yes, women can put out quality products in the fly fishing world, and we can make a superior product.
In 1920, at the height of the company's size and production, Carrie sold her business. At that time, the company had around 150 employees and was the largest producer of flies in the country. Carrie's company was only the beginning of what would become a fly-tying empire in Stevens Point. Her brother George would even start his own company, G.W. Frost & Sons. The strength of the family name was reflected in his company's slogan, Fish Fight for Frost Flies.
Stevens Point was home to many fly-tying companies. C.J. Frost, subsequently the Frost Fishing Tackle Company, Weber Lifelike Fly, G.W. Frost & Sons, and even smaller organizations like A.J. Koshalik, William Plantico & Sons. Joe Wirth originated the Wirth Company in 1940 in Stevens Point. Wirth was also tying flies at the time, so Stevens Point has a rich history of fly tying and fly tying companies.
With so many fly tying companies in one city, there was competition for the best tires. Businesses would install air conditioners, upgrade their bathrooms, and provide other amenities to keep the best fly tires.
The fly tying in Stevens Point is said to have had its peak in the early 1940s. It's thought that there were 500 to 600 fly tires in the area, tying some 10 million flies annually. So a really remarkable number.
So the Stevens Point area was the perfect place for Carrie Frost to start her business because fly fishing was very prominent in that area. And so having the business right there was just a natural place. Stevens Point is known as the fly tying capital of the world, and it's all because of what Carrie had done. She's the one who put it on the map